A very warm welcome to a new episode of the Mandl Mikro podcast from the studios of the European Parliament based in Strasbourg. Today, I'm more than happy to have a special guest in the podcast studio today, a guest that has traveled very far to come to the European Parliament, to the, in my view, as I always say, most exciting political arena on earth. It's the entrepreneur, the champion in many fields, and also somebody who became a friend, Shrichel Gupta, from the city of Pathankot in the region of Punjab in India. Welcome, Shrichel.
Thank you, Mr. Mandl.
Thank you so much for being open, not only for an exchange here in the European Parliament, but also for this podcast, because it's interesting for everybody in Europe, and I would today really tend to say worldwide, what you have to say and what we have to talk about. India is today the largest country on earth, and your region, the region of Punjab, is also called the Bavaria of India due to its economic strength.
Yeah.
So there are many good reasons to talk about India in its entirety, but in particular also about Punjab, and especially with you, since you have been an education reformer, a global affairs commentator, and always working in the intersection of education, technology and governance. You are the founder and curator of TEDx Caledonia. That's where we met.
Yes.
That's how we became friends. And you are also the, I would say, the champion who over a decade has been transforming the Caledonian International School. You're a member of the World Economic Forum Digital Community, of the Aspen Society, of the Chatham House that some in Europe, Central Europe, very well know due to the so-called Chatham House rules, which apply very often in various meetings. So you really have a lot to share with us in fields many in Europe are very curious about. And this is what India is about, what India's economy is about, what the hopes and aspirations of Indian people are about, because the European Union and India are about to conclude the largest free trade agreement on earth. 2 billion people will be positively affected by this free trade agreement. Europe's approach is always the one of cooperation, and we know cooperation leads to better ties, better exchange, also exchange of goods and services, and therefore also better human relations. This is why it's so important from our view to really conclude this trade agreement with the largest country on earth. What's your take on it personally, Shrichel Gupta, and what do you think do Indian people think about it, or what can they expect from this more than ever strong partnership between Europe and India?
Thank you, Mr. Mandl. First and foremost, it's an absolute pleasure to be here in Strasbourg. I come from Pathankot, a small border town in the foothills of Himalayas and north of India. Much of my work focuses on education and also on how global policy decisions translate into real outcomes beyond capitals and metros. I strongly believe that the future is going to be shaped not by the metros or the capitals, but by small towns and villages. So when we talk about EU and India's cooperation, I naturally look at it through both a macroeconomic lens and grassroots implementation lens. Firstly, about the Indian economy. We are the world's largest democracy, home to 1.4 billion people. Currently, we are the fourth largest economy, touching roughly around $4 trillion. And we are projected to become the third largest economy by the end of this decade, maybe by 2030. To understand India's economy, we have to understand that we have four main pillars of, you know, Indian economy. The first and the biggest is the service industry, which amounts to 55% of India's GDP. And 40% of exports. European Union, the Europe, is one of the biggest and the largest markets when it comes to India's service industry. And the total service industry amounts to $250 billion a year alone, which comprises of IT and business services. Second is the manufacturing sector. Though it amounts to 17 to 18% of the current country's GDP, but it's growing rapidly and outpacing all other sectors. We are largest producer of generic medicines, automotive components, and right now expanding into electronics and clean technology. Third, SMEs. This is the real backbone of India's economy. We have more than 60 million small and medium enterprises, employing over 110 million people and accounting for 45% of our exports. And this is where the real India is. Towns like and cities like Pathankot is the backbone of the India's SME growth.
Why is that? Is that traditionally the case? Does this have historic roots? Or why is the, especially the small and middle-sized enterprises sector so strong in your region? And what pattern does it also provide for other regions of India?
So I would say since my region is an agriculture-based economy-driven Punjab, Punjab has always been self-reliant. You know, historically and in the modern era as well. So the need of the tools for agriculture, implants, whatever it is, that you know, initiated the requirement of small SMEs, and government has a very good policy, the current Indian government. They support small businesses. We have a wonderful policy that boosts startups. So that's the reason why, you know, India has so many startups. And recently, last week, we celebrated the India Startup Day. So the policies are favorable, and the demand is good. The market is good. So that's the reason why SMEs are growing in India.
Very interesting, and also a very good pattern, I would say, for economies generally. So thanks for providing these facts and figures. I want to address something very direct. Many people in Europe, when it comes to trade deals, absolutely not in particular to the trade deal with India, but when it comes to free trade, many people in Europe are full of fear of what could happen negatively due to the trade deal. My experience very close with the South Korea, in that case, Korean free trade agreement between EU and Korea, which was for a very long time the most successful of all trade agreements, because it triggered growth on both sides. Economy was growing, creating jobs, creating more wealth, more opportunities, more perspectives for this generation and generations to come. So in your view, what's your expectation for growth? In what areas, in what fields can a stronger cooperation with Europe strengthen growth in India? And what do you think the other way around? In what fields will free trade between India and Europe also strengthen our economy in Europe?
To answer that, I would take you back to the history. So India and Europe has always been a natural trade partners. Be it Silk Route or be it the Spice Route. Both the regions have supported each other since centuries, since ages. Right now, EU is the third largest trade partner of India with, you know, roughly around about 11% of total India's trade. In India, when you talk about Europe, we see Europe as a partner of standards, stability, integrity, and trust, especially in the areas of education, regulations, sustainability, and long-term policy consistency. The free trade agreement, as you already mentioned, it would be the biggest by population, covering over 2 billion people and 20% of the world's GDP. From the Indian perspective, expectations are very clear. And right now, you know, it's not only by it's not only about reduced tariffs or taxes. It's about reducing the friction. Tariffs in some sectors range up to 10 to 30%, and compliance is tough. So for big businesses, it's a clear roadmap. Stable rules matter more than, you know, just taxes. So agreement is not about trade volumes. It's about the confidence that brings and the trust that brings to the small businesses.
I like the approach very much, and I can only quote Mr. Modi, who is leading India, the largest democracy on earth, as you have just stated. And he said, India-EU strategic partnership is natural, very similar to what you have just said, Mr. Gupta. Its core is trust and shared belief in democratic values, Modi said. And I've also found a very recent statement by Friedrich Merz, the Prime Minister Chancellor of Germany, who said, unfortunately, we are seeing a renaissance of protectionism. But Merz also thinks that especially the negative effects of protectionism will lead to even a stronger free trade agreement comes into being, as Merz has then stated. So these are the political statements. These are the big overviews. And of course, I highly, highly appreciate what you have said about Europe and how you have put the one or the other strength of Europe into language. And it's very kind of you, Shrichel Gupta, here in the European Parliament's premises in the Mandl Mikro podcast studio. But I think there are also many strengths of India's society, of India's workforce, of India's economy, businesses, and the whole attitude of India when it comes to innovation, investment, production, work and economy that are really important to be seen from our side, to be recognized, even to be embraced from our side. So how can you describe India's ambition, the ambition of India's youth, the ambition of India's education system you have so much to do with? What is what we can see? Where does this strength you have just described of the largest country on earth, which a growing economy, which might be, as you have said, the third largest worldwide in 2030. Where does this come from? What's the attitude of the people of India?
We are living in a very fast-moving world right now. Nobody knew, like, 3 years back, maybe 2020s or 2021, how world has evolved through AI and Web3. That's the future. I'll take an instance of AI. I think this agreement, two of the areas that would be transformational would be AI and digital infrastructure. Let's talk about the India story. We have 1.3 billion plus digital identities, over $2 trillion US dollars in digital payments annually, and that too with non-zero marginal delivery of public digital services. What EU brings to table? Strong AI governance, which is very, very important right now. Data protection frameworks and industrial AI expertise. How to use AI into the industry. India is a very young nation. The median age is 28. So all these industries, people change, technologies evolve, but investing in people and education lasts forever. So I think along with this agreement, if this transcends beyond capitals and metros to the small towns, that's where the real change happens. That's where the real people gets benefit.
That's a very good description of what is meant with the old saying of think globally, act locally.
Yes, yes.
This is what's happening not only, but especially in times of AI. Mr. Gupta, our time is already over in the studio, but I'm really grateful that you took the effort to visit Europe, that you even came to the European Parliament, that you will have a bit more of a round trip in Europe. I think I'm happy we met.
Yes.
I'm happy we are in good exchange and we can contribute each in his capacity to a better world via better relations, better cooperation. Free trade may sound very technical, very business-oriented, but in the end, it's about humans.
Yes.
It's about human connections, human relations. And this is what we strengthen via that path and our also via different path. So I thank you again for visiting the studio. I thank everybody listening to this episode of the Mandl Mikro podcast from the studios of the European Parliament. I send warm wishes and best regards from the European Parliament. Yours, Lukas Mandl.
Thank you.